Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci, and the 60th edition of the Cork Film Festival is fast approaching, and the festival will kick off on the 6th of November and run to the 15th. What better way to prepare for it than by chatting with the director of the festival itself, James Mulligan. Thanks very much for joining us.
Matt, you're very welcome. Thanks for having me on the show.
So, James, the 60th edition is by all means a landmark for any film festival in any part of the world, but this festival in particular, I've attended the past few two editions, it's just the way in which it has evolved is absolutely phenomenal, you know, I think. So before we actually get to talking about some of the ways in which this year's fest looks to improve even more on what it has accomplished thus far, I'd like to ask you if you could introduce our international listeners to the Cork Film Festival by giving us a little background information on it and its history, but also maybe even a little bit about the lovely city of Cork.
Fantastic, I'd be delighted. Cork is the second largest city in the Republic of Ireland and the third largest city on the island of Ireland. It dates back to Viking settlements. It's over 800 years old. The Cork Film Festival itself was born on the 21st of May in 1956 with a screening of A Town Like Alice at one of what was then eight cinemas that existed in Cork, the Savoy. The city had, for the last couple of years before this, had a multidisciplinary arts and sport and community festival called An Tostar, which means, in Irish, it means the pageant. And the success of it was so good that the manager of the Everyman Palace Cinema was approached the city fathers and said, this city needs an international film festival. And so it was born the following year in 1956. It's an amazing achievement to be able to survive uninterrupted for 60 years. There are older festivals in the world, but only 15. And there's no older film festival in Ireland, and indeed the only continually existing arts event in Ireland which is older is by 1 year only, and that's the Cork Choral Festival, which takes place in the spring. This year I wasn't quite sure what to do with a 60th, and I thought about it, I researched, I consulted, and then we've ended up doing a few things outside of the normal repertory cinema program, which we'll get to talking about in a minute. The first thing I did was I redesigned the festival's identity, and your listeners can have a look on the website to see the fruits of that. There's a new typeface, a new graphic, and a little logo placeholder in the form of a ship in full sail. Cork's city logo itself, its coat of arms, if you will, is a ship arriving between two towers, and the city calls itself the Safe Harbour. And we're a very maritime city indeed. It's one of the four great ports of the British Empire when Ireland was within Britain. And to this day, the River Lee, which flows right through the city and then expands into the world's second largest natural harbour, makes Cork a very marine, a very watery city, and so that's why our logo was chosen to present it. Then, after the last couple of years, I've been working hard alongside the festival, the country's national broadcaster, Radio Television Ireland, RTE, and this year we penned the details of a hugely increased programme of activity. The broadcaster is now our principal partner. And one of the things that I did with them is said, in your archive, have you got any footage of the Cork Film Festival through the ages? It turned out they had lots. And we've made 10, 2 or 3 minute clips from as far back as 1962 up to the recent present of movie stars visiting Cork, crowds of people, news reports, protests for when we played The Last Temptation of Christ. We've got lots of Bishop's Cross back in the 80s there. And we'll be taking those clips, working them online anyway, but also converting them into DCPs and then sprinkling them in front of movies throughout the festival, so moviegoers will get a nice little surprise pictures of their city back in the day. That we are 60 and looking back a little meant that I had the opportunity to play a few old movies, and so there's a small Orson Welles retrospective in there. And one of the things that the RTE principal partner is bringing to the festival is its concert orchestra on Saturday the 7th for a performance of Brief Encounter with a live score, David Lean's amazing 1948 black and white romantic masterpiece. And David Lean in our mighty opera house gave me the excuse to play two more of his giant epics, Lawrence of Arabia in the original director's cut version with the full overture and interval and everything, and then the newly restored and re-released Dr. Zhivago. In 1968, the festival attracted great controversy when it played an Irish movie called I Can't, I Can't, which tells the story of a young bride who, at the reception after her wedding, her pregnant mother drops dead. She then becomes spooked by the idea of sexual intercourse and refuses to let her partner consummate the marriage, hence I Can't, I Can't. And the film was really quite brave in its day for talking about the concepts of sexuality and contraception and abortion and, you know, women's rights over their own body, themes which still resonate very strongly today. So one of the 60th anniversary celebration events is playing that movie again, and then following it by a nice long panel exploring, you know, women's rights to corporeal self-determination.
That's really only talking about the retrospectives, but there's a lot of new films that are screening at the festival too. And one of them that I'm particularly looking forward to watching actually is Older Than Ireland, which is a documentary, an Irish documentary, but there's a lot of international titles as well.
That's it. There are about 25 films in the program which are new Irish work, and about half of those are documentaries. That one is sure to be a crowd pleaser. It's a very charming movie indeed. The oldest, I mean, shows you the lives of people who are older than the Republic of Ireland, which is, you know, really dates back to about 1922. One of the people in the film is 113 years old. Documentaries are a very strong priority for us. Last year we inaugurated a prize for feature films, the Spirit of the Festival Award, my intention was there was if you go and watch those five movies, you get an understanding of what really matters to the programmers at the Cork Film Festival the most. Of course, we play Disney's Frozen in a sing-along version because the families love it, and we have a nice full house, and that helps us pay for the more difficult work for which there's a small audience. But this year, for the documentary program, we've inaugurated a new feature documentary award for cinematic documentary. Again, these are bold movies. A true movie buff amongst your listenership will understand what I mean when I'm going for the Spirit of the Tiger Award in Rotterdam. So first and second feature films, ones that push the cinematic envelope a bit, pave the way for the cinema of the future, and especially demand to be seen on a big screen, not on a 46-inch plasma in the comfort of your own living room, as valid as a viewing experience as that is. You know, in this age of absolute ubiquity of content and the obliteration of any form of scarcity, film festivals have had to quickly reinvent themselves. YouTube was a serious kick in the backside for film festivals. But what has prevailed is the sense of the communality of the film viewing experience, being able to sit in a comfortable cinema enjoying high fidelity projections and sound, and then of course the buzz of queuing to get in, and then the pints afterwards where the work is discussed.
And I know that aside from features, Cork pays close attention to its short films, and the focus on short films actually also in a way ties in with Cork's interest in looking after emerging film talent.
Yes, two good points there, Matt, thank you. This is my third festival, and I inherited an event which had a very strong concentration on short work, which I saw no reason to change. Presentations of Irish shorts, they sell well because filmmakers come to them, and the presentations of world shorts also do well because they satisfy the cinematically curious audience. And maybe you're going to watch movies from people who have big international careers 5-10 years time. This year and the winner of the Grand Prix International and the Grand Prix Irish awards for short films are long listed for the Academy Awards for the shortlist, which will be announced in November 2016 for the 2017 awards. That's new for the festival as of this time last year, and it's meant that the quality and quantity of submissions for the shorts has improved hugely, Matt, huge, 50%, maybe 40% anyway, increase in quantity and an enormous uptick in quality. So the shorts program is going to be great viewing experiences. And happily, the number of Cork shorts, which compete for the Irish prize, is greatly improved upon from last year as well. Of the 47 Irish shorts in competition, nearly half of them are from Cork alone, which is an amazing number. We're marking that as on the opening night, in the late afternoon, we're going to do a presentation of the best of those Cork shorts in the Opera House. I think that'll be a very special event. And you're right when we say that we have the ambition and drive here at Cork Film Festival to be the discoverers and the nurturers of emerging talent. The shorts programming is one of the ways in which we achieve that. The other ways in which we achieve it is our consolidated and considerably grown talent development campus, a series of 6 training events that take place during the day, after which we hope the delegates would then go and watch short films in competition. The talent development campus will number maybe as many as 100 people, half of them or more from Ireland, but the rest from around the globe, ladies coming from as far as Canada, and there's a delegation of 10 filmmakers from Tromsø in North Norway. What I'm trying to get done there is to facilitate the forging of new international partnerships between Irish filmmakers, who of course enjoy the benefits of a very generous tax break in their home country, and international filmmakers who might not, but might have better budgets with which to make movies. The cornerstone of the Irish film industry really is the international co-production. And established filmmakers can go to the Galway Film Flyer in the summer to take those meetings and make their deals. But your emerging filmmaker can kickstart their career by coming to Cork and participating in this training.
Not to mention that I think that co-production is just the way forward for film productions in general, and it's great that the Cork Film Festival kind of does everything it can to promote co-productions between Ireland and other countries around the world. Just to talk about other things that will be taking place during the Cork Film Festival, this year's edition, there's a few very exciting events. This year sees the return of the series on mental health called Illuminate. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Great, sure. So the festival has a little logline, if you like, a little bit of branding called Film, Music and Ideas. Film, obviously, we're a film festival. Music, because we like to play cine concerts. We're a very musical city. We have 2 music schools, 2 tertiary music schools in the small city. And we're a very musical city in a very musical country. So we program everything from traditional classical, like the Brief Encounter with the Lion Score, to contemporary classical, to jazz and experimental electronic music with moving images behind it. But then the ideas part of the festival is, you know, I do believe that the first duty of a movie is to entertain. But because it's such an accessible medium and no one's scared of movies in a way that they might be nervous that they don't understand the grammar of contemporary sculpture or something like this, movies can be a very powerful tool to promote discussion and enable social change and improve social cohesion. I'm lucky enough to enjoy really quite sound mental health. And I have many friends who don't, and life can be very difficult for them, especially because mental health deficiencies are invisible. You know, if someone's got a broken arm, you can see they've got a broken arm. If they've got a broken brain, we're all a little bit scared of them because we don't know how they're going to behave. One of the purposes of Illuminate is to put mental health considerations front and center into film and discussion events. So we have 3 movies, and after each of those movies, there is a panel discussion and audience Q&A event, which basically is as long as the movie itself. So we've got plenty of time to thoroughly explore the issues that were raised in the movie. For example, we're playing a movie called Hedy Schneider Is Stuck. She, you know, the filmmaker herself, the filmmaker portrays a character called Hedy, who has a, you know, family life, but she battles with depression. And what does that mean for her? What does that mean for her family? And, you know, these are tales that happen on a daily basis to, you know, 10 more percent of any population. But after the movie, we have a panel discussion which will explore issues of anxiety and medicalization of mental health issues, the stigma and representations of mental health in film and media. And we've got a nice starry panel of doctors and experts and ethicists to help us with that. It went well last year. There were 4 presentations of mental health, and we got some support from the government in doing the initiative. So I've expanded it a little bit, and we have, as well as issues around mental health being discussed and explored through film, we're also exploring abortion and prison systems, the refugee crisis, assisted dying, and rampant global capitalism. So if anyone's been to a literary festival where somebody reads from a book and then the discussion opens out into burning contemporary social issues, you'll get the idea of what I'm trying to do here, but with film.
That's exactly it, and actually films can definitely do that. They can spark debates, and that's also why it's great that the Lux Prize returns to the Cork Film Festival this year as well, because that's kind of a prize that's meant to encourage people to just start debates and talk about all the issues from just watching the films, and that's really exciting too. That's another great thing that's coming back to the Cork Film Festival this year.
It's a great initiative, the Lux Film Prize. I've really enjoyed working with the good people in Brussels. It's an amazing time in European history, an amazing time to be living in Europe. Ireland has a vaguely anxious relationship with Europe at the moment because it was a good boy and it paid its way out of the financial crisis in a way that might seem different in Greece, for example. It also is attentively viewing the rumblings in the Tory party about a possible in-out referendum in Great Britain of the European Union. So, of course, Europe is having the biggest migration of population for 70 years, not since Jews fled Central Europe to Western Europe, Britain and elsewhere, have so many people been displaced in the European zone. So contemplating Europe and trying to understand it is something that I'm very interested in anyway, and the Lux Prize is the perfect partner for that. They're good enough to enable me to play these movies for free, so people can just come and enjoy the movie. We're playing 3 movies from the long list, 2 of which have made it onto the shortlist, and the film Mediterranean, which you'll know has been playing lots of film festivals around the world, and you know tells the story of a Burkina Faso man trying to get to Italy. So he's an economic migrant rather than a war zone refugee. But it's very gripping drama, and then it's being screened simultaneously with 27 other cinemas around Europe, after which we take a live stream of a cast, crew and politicians Q&A from Brussels. So we'll feel on that evening, the Wednesday the 11th, we'll feel very much bound into Europe.
Fantastic. So you mentioned before the motto of the Cork Film Festival is films, music, ideas. So we talked about the films, the ideas, and you kind of hinted at briefly the music side of things. But it's just something that we have to talk about. Maybe as a final question, there's a lot happening as far as music is concerned at the festival as well.
So a couple of new things in our music program this year. Certainly a live full orchestra is new. We've invented a new strand of the festival called Synchronize, where we give an award for the best Irish and the best international music video. It's something I'm very keen to build up over the coming years. And then sometimes we act as a receiving house for city concerts that other organisations have made. So on the first Saturday, there's a show called Out of Body with a brilliant young British electronic musician and performer called Gazelle Twin. And the Arts Council of England commissioned this show and got the great young British animator Carla McKinnon to make the visuals for this show, Out of Body. So this is more, a heavier sort of post-industrial sound, electronic, very strong piece, very visceral, full of really quite difficult to look at visuals, sort of animated chicken and liver skins and things like this. But then at the other end of that scale, in collaboration with the Irish Film Institute, we've got some Irish archive restored movies, including three which depict Cork, and we've commissioned a score from a group of Dublin jazz musicians called Bottle Mode. So, something for all tastes there. And then every night after movies, we all go back to the Cork Film Festival Club, where there's always a different DJ or something each night.
Yeah, it's always a great atmosphere actually there, and that's true. That has to be said.
They say, "You're sure the cracket is mighty."
Yeah. The crack is mighty in Cork. So let's remind our listeners that the Cork Film Festival is taking place from the 6th to the 15th of November. I'm personally very much looking forward to it. So thank you very much for joining us, James, and best of luck with it, and I'll see you there.
I'm looking forward to seeing you here, Maddie. Thanks very much.
Thanks very much, and this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.